Arkansas.
This isn't the normal week we go on, kind of just doing a kind of a social call. I haven't been doing much of anything. It's deep winter up here in North Dakota, and it's day after day of no sunlight and howling wind and freezing your balls off. So that's not too inspiring for much of anything other than sleeping a lot and staying warm. Because honestly, when you get into this cold weather situation like it is up here most of the time, and a lot of people in the East Coast are going through right now, it's kind of what inspired the song tonight, Over the Falls by Primus, was seeing a report on the news today of Niagara Falls freezing all the way over. So it's freaking cold out there in a lot of places, but at the same time, I'm even seeing people post that they're getting their gardens ready, and it's hard to imagine looking out my front window, but I can go back to where I'm from in Dallas, Fort Worth, and people are already starting to think about what's going in their gardens and tilling them up and doing all that stuff and getting it ready, especially those people that are on the ball. But up here, we're basically waiting for the first part of fishing season, which should be April. April 15th is like the magic day for catching big northern pike. I've seen some monsters caught since I've been up here, and I'm looking forward to taking part in that this year. That's something I haven't done since I've been here. But this year I know a spot. It's not fished hardly ever. But as soon as April 15th hit, I'm going to be down at that lake, and I'm going to be posting some pictures of some freaking monsters, hopefully, best case scenario. So Bukharin and Kimberly, I got you both of your mics open already. It's freaking middle of the winter. What are you doing?
I'm driving. Well, sitting still at the moment, but I'm still out here on the road. Winter, spring, summer, fall, doesn't matter what time of year for me. Still
well,
got to make money.
What part of the country are you in tonight? What part of the country are you in tonight?
I am in northwestern Arkansas.
What's the weather like?
Beautiful. I'd say
beautiful.
Probably mid-50s. Mid-50s.
Damn.
Everything's
nice.
Melting. Yeah. It's.
It was sunny today here, but sunny means colder usually. I don't think we got above zero today up here. With that pesky wind chill at about minus 20 most of the day. No, I just sit in front of my window and bask in the sun that comes through my window. That's about the biggest highlight of a winter day here. How about you, Bukharin? What's it like down in Kentucky?
Well, yeah, I'm up here in Louisville, and we got a pretty good storm that came in Sunday and Monday. I think in our area we got 8 to 10. And, you know, some places got a lot more, especially outside the city. And school's been canceled all week because we had 2 days probably because of just the snow on the street and everything, getting it clear. And then right after the snow, we had temperatures that were like -3 to -6, and that was without the wind chill. So, you know, they couldn't have kids at the bus stop when it was -25 and stuff. Not out here. I mean, can't count on parents to be smart enough to put a coat on a kid.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, well, you know, I mean, that's probably half of it right there.
So I've been seeing all kinds of videos and stuff that have been freaking hilarious about people in the southern states getting ready for the bad weather.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wipe out stores. I mean, I've seen pictures on Facebook of, you know, empty shelves of bread, milk, water, you know, and it's like, I drive a little Honda Civic Accord, you know, it's front wheel drive. I lived in Colorado for 20 years. I mean, I'm used to driving in the snow, and I mean, it was a good snowstorm for here, but it wasn't anything too crazy. I mean, if you just take your time and, you know, pay attention to what the hell you're doing, you can get through it just fine. But yeah, you know, people out here, I see people walking down the street with fucking blankets wrapped around them. I'm like, really? You don't even own any kind of coat? Really?
That's,
let me think about it. Where you live, you see a motherfucker walking down the street with a blanket wrapped around him or a sleeping bag. You'd be like, someone call the fucking ambulance and get this guy locked up.
Right, right. No, up here, man, that bus arrives. I mean, in the mornings it could be -16, -18 degrees below zero. But with an insane wind chill, and that bus pulls up same time every morning.
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing.
It literally has to be actively in the middle of a blizzard or in the spring or fall, and it'd be a hot day. It's the only time they'll call school here.
Yeah, that's like when I lived in Colorado. You know, you couldn't get a snow day for nothing. And out here, you know, the kids, you know, they get freaking, it might snow. And it, so, oh, well, we better call school because, you know, we can't deal with it. So they throw in the towel before the snow even comes, and then half the time the snow doesn't even show up.
It's just funny. It's funny to me because I remember walking to school in 20 below weather, and you get there, and it's not a big deal. Everybody's there. Everybody either came on the snowmobiles or, you know, it's, I mean, people back in the time when I was going to school would routinely ride snowmobiles to school. It didn't matter.
Right, that's the way,
one way
it is.
Or the other.
It don't matter. As long as there's one lane going on the road and there's not a, they'll shut it down if every highway into town is going to be blocked by snow drifts. That's the only time they'll shut down school. And, I mean, it's got to be, like, freaking biblical for them to call out school up here. And I'm from Texas. I grew it up. If there was one flurry in the sky, they called off school and people started wrecking.
Yeah. You know, it's just funny because, you know, you can tell how, you know, people that aren't used to it, they just, you know, you can just tell. I mean, it's the panicky, they drive too fast, they don't really know where they're going, and, you know, and they get to the store and they just grabbing stuff. Like, I better get this, I better get that. You know, like, you know, they grab all this stuff and use refrigeration, and it's like, well, what if you lose power?
Somebody posted at Grid Down that 2 days into the snowstorm, their neighbors show up asking for food. Did y'all see that one?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, is that a hypothetical or is that something legit? Because either way, that's kind of bullshit. 2 days.
I didn't like check it or talk to them. I just saw it posted.
Yeah.
But there,
I mean,
is people,
you know,
out there like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand trying to help people, but at the same time, I think, you know, unless you're destitute on the street, you should be able to have at least 2 days of freaking food in your house a week. I mean, come on.
Well, I would.
Not even trying. I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
I would have handled it by giving them a snow shovel.
Yeah, make them work it off.
Yeah, there was the other one that had where they had electricity, but their furnace went out, and they weren't going to get a new furnace till like this coming Monday. And the guy offered, his friend, and he offered him a couple of those little heater fan type things just to, you know, cut the chill down a little bit and help them out. And they said, hell no, we don't want to pay the outrageous electric bill. So they just assumed,
oh,
they just
about,
assumed freeze their ass off,
electric bill.
You know, to have heat, and then to have, heat. You know, some heat.
What, they wanted them to put them up
bill.
In their house for...
No, he kind of got the impression that they were wanting, like, bigger, better, nicer heaters made available to them. You know, like some kind of infrared heater or the ceramic heaters, you know, not some cheap-ass $10 plug-in heater that works, but, hey, that's not good enough for me. That's kind of
we'll end up turning our kitchen, we'll turn our kitchen into a bedroom for four and a bird if that
right.
Ever happens here.
Yeah, I mean, you can
hang up blankets.
One room.
Hang up blankets.
What's
and corner everything off and make it so that
only
one small section is being heated. And yeah.
Oh,
and
but
they're done that
of,
too.
high electric bill. Speaking of high electric bill, before I lose that thought, I just paid my highest $290, and.
Yeah.
And it was exactly contributed to me trying to save my washing machine. We went through three washing machines last winter.
Dang.
And this winter I took one of those 1200 watt heaters and got it pointed right on the back of it. Oh, man. Yeah, let's see if anybody else is on the phone. I think I saw 469. We need a weather report from Texas. I think that's what that is. Howdy, is this Prepper?
Yeah, you got it, bro.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, well,
it's just S4.
Well,
so what's the weather down there like in North Texas?
And they can get pretty fierce. We're under a winter storm warning starting at 6 tomorrow evening. I've already notified my company that if it is indeed sleeting like it says they're going to tomorrow, Monday morning, don't count on me coming in. They said that's fine. I mean, we got...
Yeah,
we
I'd
got,
stay out those roads if there's any kind of bad weather in Texas. I've been out there in my life and... And there's some scary people out there on the roads.
Hey, Kim,
I've got to be down in Laredo.
I'm
heading
going
to Laredo
anywhere.
For Monday.
Well, Laredo?
Yeah.
What are you going to do down Laredo?
Deliver a load. It's going to Mexico.
Oh, you're going to Mexico. Okay.
Mexico.
Yeah. I tell you what, Mexico is not a safe place to go nowadays.
I don't go to Mexico. I just go as far as Laredo, and that's as far as I go.
Oh, okay, and then they take it from there.
Yep.
Yeah. You probably drive by, have somebody climb out while you're still moving, unhook it, drop that shit, and keep rolling. Don't even stop.
that's pretty
about
much.
Right.
The longest I've ever been stuck in Laredo is about 3 hours.
It's like a fucking
pit
crew unloading that truck and getting you out of there.
Well, I don't even unload the truck. I just drop, hook up my next load, and boogie.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, that's cool.
That is the way
to
do it.
So you just switch trailers.
What's that?
Now,
you just switch trailers.
I've got my standby power ready. I've got plenty of food. I went to the gun show today. And got some things. Bought two more guns.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got another Springfield XD. I got a 4-inch XD9, and I got a Remington 870 security special. That something just tricked out too. This place out of McKinney called Badass Shotguns. Well, I'll tell you what, they make some badass shotguns out of Remington 870s.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I'd just
I got
single shot, and I'd be happy. That's
What's
one thing
that?
I'm missing is shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Kim, what's the farthest you've ever driven as far as picking up shit and dropping off?
What do you mean?
I mean, like up to Canada, like West Coast, East Coast, South?
I've been to Canada. I've been to Quebec and Ontario. I've also been as far east as Maine. And I've been to California. And the only four states in the southern, in the 48 continental states are that I have not been to are Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana.
Okay. On that side of the country, the only state I've missed is Iowa and Washington.
You've never been to Iowa?
We didn't do a semi-truck. No.
Iowa's like right
no,
in the center of everything.
We've been all around it, but never managed to go through it. No, we were in the Columbia River Valley. We had traveled from Bucyrus, Ohio, up to Lake Erie, and then from Lake Erie through Michigan, then over the Mackinac Bridge, and then all the way across to Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Washington on the right-hand side of us across the bridge the whole way. And I kept telling my wife, we need to cross that bridge so we can say we've been to Washington. And she said, oh, we'll get to it. And we never got to it. But it's all good because I think when we go to Washington for the first time together, we'll do it on the train from here.
That'd be a nice ride.
Yeah, get on
yeah,
I'm
thinking so. Yeah, 2 hours from here is the Fargo Amtrak. And there's like five places in North Dakota where they pick up and drop off. We'll just do Fargo, though.
You know, I looked at
prices across the state before, and it was pretty much along the lines of what Greyhound is.
Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the longest Greyhound trip any of y'all ever taken?
I've never taken one.
Me either.
13 hours from Jackson, Mississippi to York, Pennsylvania.
Dang.
Nice.
That would drive me up a wall.
Here recently, when the last few years, I did Fort Worth, Texas to Williston, North Dakota. and it went everywhere but that direction for the first half of it. It was on for almost 3 days.
Shit. That would drive me nuts. See, I'm used to going somewhere while I'm still young.
Do it in your own car is the best way to do it, for sure. Okay, bring him.
No, I fly.
Oh, man.
That's what I do for a living.
Hey, does anybody here know anything about making wine?
No, I've seen people make wine out of all kinds of stuff. Hell, I've seen dandelion wine. I never knew you could make that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that's kind of what I've been thinking. I've been looking at the natural resources that are available to me. Daydreaming of summer, actually. And we have a yard full of dandelions.
As long as they haven't been treated.
Like,
oh, that'd be nasty.
No, these, I ain't spending no money to treat anything. No, they're not treated.
No, I mean, even if your neighbors do it, it kind of blows over onto your grass, and even though it might not kill any of your dandelions, you're still going to end up with that awful, icky taste.
Okay, that's good to know.
So yeah, that's why I get them out of the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it kind of looks like orange juice. I don't know what it tastes like, but it looks like kind of orange juice.
I tried making some. But all of my neighbors, way back when, I tried making some off of out of the dandelions in my yard. All of the neighbors all had everything, all their yards treated, and it just tasted awful.
Ugh. Well, the stuff I got in my yard, I've got mint, I've got dandelions, I've got milkweed, and then there's a couple other flowers I'm not sure about yet. And then here, that grows naturally is prairie rose. And I was thinking all that stuff together might make a tasty wine.
Well, rose.
But what's the basis
to
it? I mean,
you
get the flowers together. I mean, what kind of yeast do you need? What kind of sugar do you use?
Can you use yeast from a yeast infection?
Yeah.
Right. Make vagina wine.
Oh,
make vagina wine. So somebody posted a link to vaginal yogurt.
Ew.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ew.
That's the most effed up.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty open to a lot of things, but no.
How bored do you have to be? You're sitting around, hey, why don't I take this fungus in my vagina and make yogurt out of it? I mean, really?
Right.
You actually sat there and thought of that?
I don't know what's worse, that or the vaginal crocheting.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see that?
How the hell did they do
that? She was sticking the ball of yarn up her thingy.
Yeah, I saw that. They said she could knit all day.
It's fucking hilarious.
I don't think I could really go for that.
I don't know. I mean, I think people just do shit to get attention. It doesn't make any sense.
What if you walked in your house? What if you walked in your house, Bukhar, and your wife didn't know you were coming? You walk around the corner in the house, and she's vaginal crocheting.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'd probably sit down and watch in amazement.
Yeah, I think I would, too.
I'd probably get a stool and just sit there across from her and just watch.
Right.
Or something. Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
About that now.
Yeah, there's definitely some.
So you're waiting on a winter storm then, Prepper.
What's that?
You're waiting on a winter storm right now?
No, it hasn't started yet. It's not going to start till tomorrow evening. And the temperature is going to be dropping.
Down in...
What's that?
I said I'll already be down in Laredo by then.
Yeah. Well, like I say, overnight tomorrow is when it's really going to get bad. And then for the morning commute, you know, it's going to be peaked out. And this old boy ain't going to go nowhere, I don't think. You know,
yeah,
you know,
so smart.
It's not worth it.
To tell you
it's
the truth, exactly. I would rather people who not know how to drive stay home.
I know how to drive.
So that I can get where I need to be.
There's too many
I had a friend of mine when I was a teenager. He was from up north. And every time it started to snow or ice over down in Texas, he would get his truck out and go around and pull people out of the ditch. And he didn't charge
good
anything.
Good way to make money.
He just did it for the fun of it. Right? This guy just drove around and pulled people out of the ditch, and there was always a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
I had an old Jeep I used to go around and do that.
I saw it for myself. I mean, I've driven to the stuff. I know how to drive in it, but just there's too many dickheads that don't know.
Yep.
I do see some comical shit like this one son of a bitch tailgated me and things like that. And boy, he just finally gets pissed off, goes around me, hits his bridge, and stuffs his brand spanking new Acura right into the Armco barrier. And I mean, he stuffed it hard. That thing still had dealer tags on it. I'll laugh till I piss myself dry.
Damn.
That's when I say karma.
For that?
Hey, the first four snowstorms.
Karma, you get what you deserve.
That's it.
Yep.
The first major snowstorm of every year for my first 4 years in Colorado, I had to get pulled out of the ditch. But then I finally learned. It took me 4 years, but I finally learned.
I know
what was that?
I've never had to get pulled out of no ditch. Yep.
Oh, I have been.
Here's
what
it all boils down to.
One time.
It all boils down to a quote from Einstein. It says, "The wise man is one who limits his ambitions according to his abilities." That's all. That always is one to me.
Oh, shit. Snowstorms are for playing in. Sometimes when you're playing, you end up in places where you got to have help getting out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like.
Oh, Lord.
We used to go and spin donuts in the parking lots and stuff
right.
When you get in fresh snow.
Yeah.
Most fun thing.
Hell,
but
I have ocean up. You can
go ahead.
What's that?
I was going to say, when I was stationed up at Fort Knox in Kentucky, I mean, you get like an inch or two of snow, they close the whole base down. I mean, you're supposed to be driving tanks around and shit. It's like, so you're telling me, like, if it snows, like, the war's going to be postponed? But, you know, I guess you know, well, you know, I mean, you think that because you're being a smart ass, but it's like, yeah, it's training, so I guess there's no reason to drive around and get hurt, you know, just fucking around in the snow, because they know we would. I mean, it's too much fun, but I mean,
but
they closed down.
They've probably been down that road
about
before.
2 inches of snow, they'll shut the whole base down, and you just do stuff inside. They don't even go outside.
That's the best policy.
I mean, it's just safer, you know, less train accidents. Same in the summertime, they've got the heat index thing going, you know, so nobody dies from heat stroke.
Yeah, that's the only time we really close school down up here in North Dakota, is if they got a day that gets over 95 degrees, they close the school down. There's no air conditioner around the school.
Where?
Here where we're at, North Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah, the only place in the whole school that has an air conditioner is in the office.
Damn. Yeah, we've got to keep the office people cool. I mean, if it wasn't for them, there'd be no school,
right?
Yeah. Maybe about as much sense as
yeah, but if it gets too hot, they close that shit down. There's been more days called for heat since I've been here than it's been called for cold weather.
You know, the heat does not bother me one damn bit.
My philosophy...
I can stay out in 100 degrees plus all day long. It does not bother me.
My philosophy on heat and cold is... My philosophy on heat and cold is I'd rather be in the cold because I can only take off so much clothing before I become obscene.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I have never been...
I lived in places with no air conditioner in Texas as a kid. All we had was an attic fan. But, man, there's benefits to both places. I mean, there's a lot less hardcore bugs up here than there is down there. A lot of freaking ticks, though.
Oh, yeah. Did y'all hear about that new,
Colorado.
That new disease, the tick-borne disease, bourbon fever or whatever?
Yeah, I read something about it.
Kansas.
I saw a headline.
Yeah.
I didn't read it, though.
Some guy in Kansas got sick from a tick bite. And died from this new virus called bourbon virus or something from a tick.
They got all kinds of new shit coming around. You know, all these fucking foreigners that landed in this country bringing all that those neat bugs up from their third world shitholes that they come from.
I think that's why all that measles and stuff is breaking out is because you got all these people coming in that came from places that, you know, did you get vaccinated? Yeah, I gave the guy $5 and he told me I was vaccinated. You know,
so
like they get everything else fake.
I took this stance on vaccination, lost an old Facebook friend of mine, one that's been on my Facebook for like 6 years. And I said, I get so tired of listening to both sides argue about the vaccination issue. Because the ones that do vaccinate, they're freaking smug as hell. They know everything. They're the greatest. The ones that don't vaccinate, they're the greatest. They're smug. They're perfect. and it just fucking gets annoying. It's just one of those arguments. You're a vaccinator or you're a non-vaccinator. I mean, you are what you are. And she defriended me because I ride the middle. Because I don't give a fuck if somebody vaccinates or not. Don't care.
I like the way old Frank Zappa put it. Says you are what you is.
People that vaccinate their kids are so worried about kids that don't vaccinate. Why the hell are they so worried about it if their kids vaccinate?
Yeah.
That's the shit that I don't get. I vaccinated
my kids. There's no consistency.
My kids are vaccinated.
I mean,
but
my kids have
vaccinated them this time around because I didn't want to argue with school. Tired of fucking arguing. But it's a fucking
kids. My kids have some of their vaccinations, but we didn't get vaccinations for, like, the swine flu and crap like that because, it wasn't even going on around here. Or that other thing that was going on last year, the K98, whatever.
Right.
We didn't do none of that shit. It's like we haven't even got flu shots this year because they said, 50% of them ain't going to work anyway. So it's like, well, hell, why bother paying for it then?
We did that flu shot thing. Two of us had it, two of us didn't, and we all got the flu.
Yeah, I mean, we try to eat healthy
and
take vitamins and shit like that. So, there's other ways to do things besides always have to go straight to what they recommend.
You know what I recommend to them? I recommend they shut the fuck up. That's what I recommend. I've told many of them that. You know, Matt, I mean...
Oh, shit. I just... This this to vaccinate or not to vaccinate argument is as ridiculous and one-sided from both sides as any argument I've seen here recently.
It's like an almost like the abortion argument as far as how intense it can get.
Well, I'm totally pro-life. I'm one-sided on that. But
oh, I know. But you know what I mean. You've got two sides, and both sides can get heated and just totally go at it. You know, and that's probably the
most
prominent battle there is, you know, on a consistent basis.
Right.
I mean, when they're out there for anything, you know, it's like they hate each other so much, it's like they counter-protest each other. I mean, they're always out there.
Well, I don't see any reason why anybody should be telling somebody to how they treat their body or whatever. So that's just
we won't get into the abortion argument here.
Yeah.
So that's for the political show if I ever do one again.
No, I was just saying that only in the sense that, you know, it's the kind of argument like that where it just gets intense, you know. You've got two sides, both sides are intense. I mean, you know, I agree with you totally as far as, you know, I don't
see
people vaccinate, don't vaccinate.
Issue, the vaccination issue is one of those issues where you've got the pro-vacciners that some are liberal and some are conservative. It's one of those ones that transcends political boundaries.
Yeah. It's a hot button issue for everybody.
I don't know. I just decided this year. You've
got to shut the fuck up.
Me and my wife, we argued about that one for years and watched videos and read articles, and both sides have compelling things to say. And some of the shit I've seen from the anti-vacciners, man, it's freaking crazy. One of them was this woman that was a cheerleader, got a vaccine, and she could run backwards, but she can't walk frontwards. Did y'all see that one?
Is that like her superpower or something?
No, it gave her like this partial cerebral palsy.
Yeah, that's weird.
It fucking ruined her life, destroyed her life. And you watch a bunch of shit like that about vaccinations, and you're like, fuck, man, I don't want to do this to my kid.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, there's so much anecdotal evidence, and, you know, it's, like you said, you know, people are just, you know, the best, quickest way to start a fight.
Yeah. I vaccinated mine. I just didn't want to argue. Like, fuck that. It's wintertime. Just fucking do it.
All I'm looking forward to is a 4-day weekend now.
Yeah, my kids were out all week. They're tired of it.
Well, my weekend so far is up to November, December, January, almost a 3-month weekend.
Damn.
Well, since February 1st or 2nd.
Dang. You've been on the road that long?
I won't be home until March 13th or 14th.
So you haven't been home since then?
Right.
Dang.
Yeah, that was the week that my grandfather died. So, yeah.
Wow.
Haven't been home since.
That's some driving there.
Well, it all depends on actually how you... if you... As a truck driver, you have one of two choices. You make money or you get home time. You can't have it both ways. Realistically.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I can come out here and say, yeah, I put $3,000, $5,000, $6,000 in the bank this week. But how much home time did I have? Next to nothing.
Yeah.
But I also have my dog and my rabbit out here on the truck with me.
Yeah.
I don't really have... My home is kind of my parents' home. That's where I go home to. So it doesn't matter.
There you go. Well, you know, you're doing the best you can. Hell, I wish I could put $3,000 to $6,000 a week in the bank, man. I'd be shitting in tall cotton. I just tell you.
I
don't know. Six grand for me would be a winner in the Florida Keys instead of in North Dakota.
I put $3,000 in the bank today, and that was from not including what I will pay for fuel for the next week.
Yeah.
That I still have out.
Here's what I have to do. Here's what I have to do 5 days a week. I got to inspect and repair aircraft, and our bigger aircraft, when they come out of major repair or inspection, I have to go test fly them. I barely make $2,000 every 2 weeks. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
But you're home every night, right?
Well, that may be true, but I'm eating the soles of my shoes almost. I live paycheck to paycheck. I got all this responsibility, and it's just like taking a piss in a dark suit. It's a warm, comfy feeling and goes unnoticed.
It doesn't go unnoticed by everybody.
Oh, the hell it doesn't.
I appreciate you.
Well, I'm glad somebody does. I wish I'd never gotten into aviation.
Maybe you need to get a CDL.
But I've been in it for 45 years. The biggest mistake I've ever made was getting out of the service. That is the biggest mistake I ever made. I'd have been retired now, at least a lieutenant colonel.
Yeah, you know what? If I was staying in, I'd be retired by now, too. That'd be great.
You know, looking back at
too.
It, but it would be. You know?
So
I had
to be hard, but...
No, but I had to be fucking pig-headed and get out and try to go do my own thing. Because I thought, you know, oh, man, look at me.
Yeah, I did my time. Now I'm going to go do my thing.
Well, I wanted to be a 20-year guy, but I got hurt, so I didn't get to be.
I had almost 11 years into it. I should have stayed.
Yeah. I had my fill at 8.
But,
hey, I was driving a neat airplane, and, you know, Maybe I could have gone over to the suck and saved some people's lives by blowing those fucking sand niggers to kingdom come.
Yeah, that's all over the news anymore.
I'd have taken care of ISIS, find out where they were, get the permission from the big brass and lay some tactical nukes on top of them. I'll show what fucking terrorism
is. I don't think you could ever get rid of all of them.
Nah.
I'll tell you what.
You could definitely thin them out.
I would have made my quota if they'd let me.
Yeah.
you figure, especially up in northern Iraq and all that, where they're at, it's probably like shooting fish in a barrel if they let them.
Oh, God, I would love that. Right. Man, I'd get hard on to fucking smoke those bastards by the bushel.
You know, my thing is, you know, with our borders being open and all that, you know, there's such a good chance that there's already dudes like that here just waiting for their chance. And it ain't going to be nothing fancy. I mean, shit, you take five guys and go to any school in any town in America. Go take five guys and go to any town, any mall in America, or any restaurant, or Applebee's, or amusement park, or park, or, you know, outdoor concert. You know,
yep.
We're so wide open to this shit. The scary thing is they haven't done it, and it would be so easy to do it. It's so low-tech. It's so, you can't find five guys that can't keep their mouth shut for the time it takes to get to Mexico, cross the border, and get to wherever you need to get. Shit.
Well, statistically, they're already here, and they're already here, statistically.
Yeah. I mean, you look at stuff going on here and there, you know, like, look out there in California where they had the, I guess you could call it a sniper attack on the electrical transformer station.
Yeah, right.
And they knocked it out, and, you know, they said, you know, they used words like professional and, you know, like military precision when they described the type of attack it was against that station, so.
It wasn't professional. It was anything but professional.
Well, I'm just saying that's the kind of words they use, so it's like, okay, well, then what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to try and harden up the grid? Are you going to try and spend a few millions or a couple billion dollars to do the job that everybody knows you could do? No.
No, they want to try and take the guns away from everybody. That's,
you know, they want to push the global warming agenda.
Yeah, global warming. Yeah, right. Global warming caused Niagara
freeze over, right?
Water, we get ice cubes, right?
I mean, like I said, I'm in Kentucky, and we're sitting in the 20s in below zero most of the week. And we have snow on the ground, you know, probably 6 inches or better. We had freezing rain, ice, rain today. I mean, it's cold as hell. I don't know what the hell they're talking about global warming.
Shit, global warming. Yeah, their global warming is when they're sitting on the toilet rubbing one off.
No, but you were talking about, like, with that poll about bugging in. You know, I think with most people, you know, depending on where you're at, you know, bugging in is the most reasonable option.
Absolutely.
I mean, because, you know, you've got stuff there. Yeah, you may have caches somewhere. You may have stuff at your bug out location. You know, you may have stuff here and there. You may have other people you want to meet up with. But, you know, at first, while you're trying to figure out what's going on, you definitely want to bug in and just try to, you know, get your bearings, figure out what's going on. I mean, it depends on the situation. I mean, if it was like, you know, an EMP, you're going to be hard-pressed to get any kind of information just because everything's going to be knocked out for a while, if it's not knocked out permanently.
Well,
right.
It all depends on what kind of shit hits the fan you're looking at, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, shit hits the fan for one person isn't necessarily shit hits the fan for anybody else.
If you live in the French Quarter of New Orleans, chances are your first plan needs to be a bug-out plan, because the most likely disaster is a powerful hurricane, which will
pop. Katrina.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, and, you know, for the sake of argument, let's just say whatever the reason, it's a catastrophic event that, you know, It's not something like you lost your job or you got hit by a bus and you're in surgery. I mean, let's just say, you know, it's a catastrophic event, you know, whatever it is. You know, bugging in would always be my first choice because, you know, if vehicles aren't running, you know, I can get to my other place, but that's a hell of a long walk to go. And you got small kids, you got to move through neighborhoods and cross bridges, and those are choke points. And, you know, I mean, depending on what's going on, your options are going to change either in your favor or against you.
It's a crapshoot.
Right here where I'm at, here where I'm at, the biggest things you have to worry about is winter storm and flooding. But our house happens to be on a hill, and it will never get flooded where we're at. So winter storm is really it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're prepared for a winter storm, all you have to do is have enough firewood and enough.
But it all depends. We're not set up for a wood burner here. I've got a wood stove. It's just not set up. But even if I did have a wood stove, this is North Dakota. There's not a bunch of cheap wood like there is in other places.
Right.
It's pretty barren. Pretty barren up there, ain't it?
You can actually make
your
fire logs out of hay or tall grass.
Right.
Yes,
you can. No, there's windbreaks here that were put in the Great Depression, and that's basically North Dakota's version of a woods.
Right.
Windbreaks in between pastures.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen
that. There is no trees. It's just rolling prairies with water in the middle of the potholes.
And don't forget to pick up your deer pellets and your cow patties and all that kind of stuff. That's a pretty good fire starter for you, too.
Ours will be moving into one room and running a kerosene heater.
Where are you going to get kerosene?
$6 a gallon across the street. Keep some stored.
Well, no, I mean, if shit hits the fan, where are you getting kerosene?
Oh, in that case, I'd have to go to the wood burner.
No, in that case, Mosin the guy, go across the street, get a can, go back and run your stove.
Right. Right. No, that freaking kerosene is not cheap. It's freaking $6 a gallon, even
right now
with the fuel prices down.
A lot of my family in northern Wisconsin, they were talking about how high the propane went last winter. And most of them run their heating systems off propane. So they had to deal with cost on propane for their second fueling of the season. And it was,
I was paying almost $4 a gallon last winter for house fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And this winter it's been just hovering at $2.
Shit.
Well, diesel fuel and gasoline went down so far.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't seem like diesel
our fuel bill.
I'm sorry?
Our fuel bill is damn near half of what it was last winter.
It doesn't seem like diesel went down as much, though, in prices as gas did comparatively, you know?
Diesel went down almost $2 a gallon. I got down to just over $2 a gallon in some of the southern states.
Jeez.
$2.25.
Well, that ain't bad at all. I mean, you know better than
especially.
I would. It just seems like to me whenever I looked at it, I was like, God, you know, it's still $3.87 and it's $2.17 for regular gas, you know, and it just seemed like it took forever to go down on diesel, but
The northern states didn't go down that much.
Of course
not. Wisconsin, Illinois, they're still at 289 a gallon, but they were up to like 418, 425, four, almost up to 450 a gallon at in some places. And, I mean, they're still just at hovering at about 289 a gallon now. But down here in the southern states, I'm still looking at 249 a gallon.
You mean down here in America?
Right.
Down here, well, that was where I fueled in Texas at 249 a gallon last week, and I got fuel in South Carolina at 238 a gallon.
At the co-op across the street from me here in Bumfuck, Egypt, it was 220 a gallon for unleaded.
Yeah, we had down. It's been floating around like 202 here for the last week.
How about down there in Texas, Prepper? How much is your gas?
I've seen it. It was as low as 163. It's right about 190,
wow.
195 right now.
Damn.
I mean, I can live
That's
with
phenomenal.
It.
Phenomenal. So, Bukharin, you said you're near Louisville, right?
Yeah.
In 2004, I drove a $250 Lincoln Town Car around the United States.
Uh-huh.
And I was in a Kmart parking lot that there's a White Castle in the parking lot in 2004 in Louisville.
Oh, nice. Was it out on Outer Loop or was it on Dixie Highway?
I don't even have any idea. We came in on the highway. We were driving through to Ohio. So it had to have been right off the highway.
Yeah. That's the only, I'm trying to think of it. They've had so many closed down, though.
Oh, it very well could have been because it was in 2004.
Yeah.
So that my whole day in Louisville, Kentucky was spent in that parking lot.
You should have stayed out there for the Derby. Hell,
nobody can
afford to go anyway.
We drove through to a place called Bucyrus, Ohio. I thought when we got there, it was like landing in the Children of the Corn movie.
Where was that?
In central Ohio, above Cincinnati. No, above what's the capital?
Columbus?
Columbus, that's it, yep. Yeah, it's like an hour north of Columbus, north of Marion.
Bus.
Yeah, it was middle of nowhere, like where I live is middle of nowhere. You're just out there in the middle of a big cornfield. I'm sure you see a lot of that on the road.
Yeah. You can't get away from cornfields out here.
But Kentucky, though, was one of the most beautiful parts of that whole drive around the whole United States was going through the hills of Kentucky. Was freaking gorgeous.
Yeah, Kentucky's pretty
slanky. Yeah, it's not too bad. Once you get out in the country, get on those two-lane roads, there's a lot of nice scenery out there.
Oh, yeah. Like they say,
even on the big highway, it was...
I don't think Kentucky's home.
Yeah, it's a big, nice highway running through the hills there.
Oh, it might have been the Bluegrass Parkway.
Yeah, my grass is blue.
Or Gene Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah, this trucker kept looking down my wife's shirt. We were on that highway. And I kept driving the car up to where he could look down her shirt better.
Kim knows all about that. She probably knows that herself, checking out dudes driving down the road.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Don't even start it on that crap.
What kind of
I didn't even think about that. I bet you see all kinds of crazy ass shit.
Well, I've had guys pull up alongside me, and I kid you not, I was in Chicago. Guy pulls up alongside me. He's got the cell phone hanging off of one ear, his thing hanging up, and he's got one hand rubbing that, and he's reading a memo in the other hand. I'm like, what the hell is this? No hands on the steering wheel.
Maybe he's steering with his knees.
No, he's got one foot on a banana peel, the other one's somewhere in the Twilight Zone.
Damn. No, I just figured, you know,
yeah,
I think
true.
About you driving down the road, you probably see all kinds of crazy ass shit.
Oh, yeah, just a little. There's one guy in Kentucky that pulled up alongside me, and he speeds up, gets in front of me, figures out that I'm a woman, and then slows down. And has this thing hanging out, just waving in the wind. I'm like, I got behind my seat, and I pulled out my my bob, and I showed that to him. He was gone. I mean, he was a mile down the road before I even put it away. So.
That's freaking hilarious.
That's probably Kenny Heiser.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The most entertainment that I ever had, though.
Driver. I just never taken.
What's that?
I always wanted to be a truck driver. I just never taken the step to do it. But it just seems like something you can still do when you're old.
Yeah. There's a guy that's that a friend of mine is training who's 65 years old. He just
yeah,
started training.
Dang.
But by that age, though, it's difficult getting up onto the catwalk and getting your lines connected, getting underneath and checking to make sure that your kingpin is locked and all that kind of good stuff.
I met a lot of old, gnarly-ass truckers when I worked out in the oil fields.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of old, gnarly-ass motherfuckers out there.
But a lot of those people also know what they're doing. And then you go to...
Right.
Then you find somebody who doesn't know that, yeah, you got to kneel down in 3 inches of mud to make sure that your kingpin is locked, and they're all like, what the hell?
Or you gotta crawl through the snow on your back to undo ratchet straps.
That too.
Right. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's cold out here.
I don't do flat bedding. I just do dry van. But there are times when I look at everything and I go, I just want to go home.
Oh, I'm that way every day.
I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
I just want to go home, too, as soon as I get to work, man. That's
my three-month weekend needs to end.
When's that?
Sometime in March. Is when the weather will break enough that we can start doing projects again.
Right.
Be back in full swing probably in May.
Right. Yeah, hey, and by the end.
Hey,
what was that? Somebody was talking.
Oh, I said, this is Bukharin. I was going to go ahead and drop off. I got to get my kids in bed. I'm a lone ranger in it this week.
Yeah.
So.
We'll
it was good talking to y'all. You have a good week. Try to stay warm.
Hey, we're going to do a real show next week. Not sure of the topic yet, but I do know what we're going to give away. We're going to give away a Gunslinger.
Sweet.
All right. Talk to you later, dude.
All right, y'all have a
good
night.
Hey, you too.
All right,
hey,
bye.
You too. You drive safe, Kimberly.
Oh, are we getting off altogether?
Yeah, it's
still here.
Nobody here tonight. I didn't advertise. Yeah, unless you need the company, then I'll stay on.
I'm here. I just.
What kind of rig are you driving?
I have a Freightliner Columbia. It's a 2007.
Kind of diesel.
It's a Mercedes engine.
Mercedes?
Mercedes.
Whoa. Oh.
It's a pain in the ass.
Why? Mercedes.
There's
extra
filters that need to be changed on it, more than a Detroit. It's difficult to do a rebuild on the engine, and I'm less than 100,000 miles away from having to do a rebuild. And what's that?
How many miles can you put on that thing before you got to overhaul?
Usually you have to do a rebuild of right around 1 million miles.
Oh,
I've got
okay.
900. I just passed 902,000.
Wow. Yeah, I miss those screaming gimmies. I tell you what.
I don't know, my buddy Jeff Kimberly, he's a guy who used to do political shows with me. He's my political co-host. He's been driving in Williston for 4 years now and making $100,000 a year. And it's worked a certain amount of days on, certain amount of days off, and none of it is over the road. Every night you're at man camp or home. But
right.
He's been talking about buying his own truck, and it's a lot of freaking money to run your own truck out there. You make a lot of money.
Well, I made last year $187,000.
Wow.
76.
And how much was that went on the truck?
76,000 went into the fuel tank. Another 30,000 went into maintenance, services, breakdowns, full set of tires, that kind of thing. Um, 17% came off the top. And went to the guy that I was leased on to.
Oh.
I don't even know what my taxes are yet because the guy I was leased on to hasn't done my 1099 yet.
Shouldn't be any damn taxes.
What's that?
Shouldn't be
So how much did you make after all that, out of that almost
$200,000? Well, minus the almost $5,000 that he skipped out on without paying me, about $35,000.
He ripped you off? He ripped you off?
Yeah, he ripped me off.
I'd go hunting for him.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'd be pursuing.
Yeah, that's not that much out of all that money.
Nope. But with getting my own authority this year, and running the way I'm running, I've already, like I said, I almost doubled what I was taking home last year per week. I've doubled that.
That's awesome. That's great.
Just by dumping the guy I was leased onto.
You're
right,
and
that's doing your own accounts.
You're working your ass off, and what are you getting the show for? You know, that's just all kinds of wrong.
In the long run, as long as I can pay off my property, that's what I'm working for. Because as soon as that property's paid off, and everything, and I'm completely out of debt, I'm getting out of this truck.
I would too.
And I'm not that far away from doing it. It's just a matter of. Go ahead.
You're quite a gallant individual. I'm taking. My hat is off to you. Know that.
Thanks.
Okay. I just really hate hearing good people getting fucked over, and I can't do a damn thing to fucking help them.
You know, sometimes, in the long run, the way I look at things is karma. People are going to get it when they screw somebody over. They're going to get it back. It's just a matter of time. And that's the way I look at it. I mean, eventually, I'm going to get my reward. And my reward is going to be not having to work my ass off as hard as I was, and not having to mess around with the crap that I've been messing around with.
I want you to know that you're in my prayers.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
Oh, God, my kids want me to make deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs?
Yes.
I'm coming by you.
Damn, that almost sounds good. You know what I might do? I might even fix me breakfast.
All right. I'm stopping by you on my way down to Laredo tomorrow.
Where are you right now?
I'm in northwestern Arkansas.
Oh, you coming down 35? You coming down 30?
No, I'm probably going to cut across on, the Cherokee Turnpike over into Oklahoma and run 69 down.
Highway 69, now you'll be going east of me. But you're going to take 35 to Laredo, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll cut over to 35 and run down through, like, San Antonio and all that, too.
Where are you going to hit 35 at?
Probably right there in Dallas.
Well, damn, that's where I live.
With a 469 area code? I know that.
Yeah, okay, well. All
right.
Anything, is there anything you need? You know, when you gonna be pulling through Dallas? When you gonna be pulling through Dallas?
I'm thinking. Let's see. 6 hours after I start in the morning. Depends on when I want to roll my ass out of bed.
Oh, okay.
I'll probably be down there right around noon or so.
All right.
I'll wave at you as I go through.
That'd be fine.
All right, I'm back now. My phone dropped.
Well, it shouldn't have dropped there, Rambo. It's supposed to be part of the process here, bro.
Oh, it's just us three. I knew somebody would want to be entertained, and it's Kimberly tonight.
Well, I'm if you need something when you're running.
A good one to have. This one have been a good one to have Jeff on. Talk to Kimberly, all trucker lingo and stuff.
Who?
Oh, my other co-host for my political shows.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a big time trucker too.
Okay.
Oh man, I'm tired, guys.
If you need anything when you're running through Dallas, give me a call if you need something.
Sure.
All right, guys. I am. I'm going to get off here.
All right. Yeah, I think it's time to...
Yeah, I didn't advertise. We ain't getting a bunch of people tonight, so we'll just cut it short and give away something next weekend.
We can do that, too.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
I'll get with y'all. I'll get with y'all about topic here in the next day or two.
Okay. Have a good night.
All righty, guys. Bye.
All right, Rambo.
Have a good night, Prepper.